This is Taste of Country Nights with Evan Paul on demand. And in this episode, we're talking to Jay DeMarcus from Rascal Flatts and his 13-year-old son, Dylan, who just basically launched a music career and released his first song, which is a cover of Bless This Broken Road, of course, from Rascal Flatts, you know, the band that his dad's in. We're going to get into that and a whole lot more here in this cute interview with son and father. Check this out. All right, it's Evan Paul here, Taste of Country Nights, and this is a first for us. This is the first time we've ever interviewed someone that we've covered their birth.
That's pretty crazy.
We were looking up an old story of, I believe you were coming from Detroit.
Yeah.
What can you tell that story again with Dylan in the room?
I had a day off the day before, and we played golf all day long, so I knew I could sleep in, so... We had a very long day on the golf course and might have had an adult beverage or two. I woke up in Detroit and I'd missed 40-some-odd calls from my wife. And so I immediately called back, of course, and she said, "You've got to get here now. Our son is coming today." And I'm like, "I'm in Detroit. I don't know how I'm going to get there." So luckily enough, Bobby, Kid Rock, his plane was there. And so he let me hitch a ride on his plane, and I came back to Nashville. Stayed for 45 minutes to watch him come into the world, turned right around, flew back, and had a police escort in. I got there in the nick of time, so much so that I wore my scrubs on stage.
Wow. Yeah. That is the most rock star thing I've ever heard. And of course, you don't remember this.
No, sir. No, sir.
When is the first time you heard this story?
I heard this story. I mean, I've heard it a ton. I mean, my dad's pretty proud that he made it back on time. So I've heard this.
I am pretty proud that I made it back.
So I've heard this story a couple of times.
Is it Uncle Kid Rock or?
Yeah, no kid.
Is it Uncle Kid? Do you talk to Kid? Do you still?
I've met him once.
Okay.
But I don't really know him very well.
Gosh, who have you gotten to meet over the years that you can even recall just because your dad?
I've gotten to meet a ton of amazing people. It's been pretty awesome. Like, who are some of the... I met Cody Johnson.
Who's our neighbor?
Shabuzzi. Yeah.
Whoa.
Keith Urban.
Whoa.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wait, who's the neighbor?
Is it Keith Urban.
Keith Urban. Okay. Have you ever gone to Keith's house to borrow something?
No, sir.
Okay. No, sir. Okay. No sugar or anything? Okay. Okay.
Yes, sir.
That's crazy. Okay, so I want to talk about the when did it become apparent as a father and a vocalist that, hey, my son really can sing?
I saw it early on. You know, when he was about 4 or 5 years old, he would tap out rhythms that were pretty natural, and he would hum along to anything that was on the radio. And he just started belting out when he was like 6 or 7 years old. He would listen to what he loved and just start singing, and he just took to it. Like, you know, it was... very, very natural. And I was very intentional about not trying to push him toward it, but letting him discover it himself. And he sure did. And it's been a wonderful thing to watch. I've told everybody this. I kind of get to relive my childhood through him because I grew up in very much the same way, surrounded by music. And my father was very musical. My mom was, you know, a singer, country music queen of Ohio in 1969. So I was surrounded by music. And my parents didn't push me either, but I was so inundated with it that I didn't have any choice but to fall in love with it. And the same thing has happened to him. He's got the things that you can't teach. You know, there are things you either have and you're born with or you don't.
Whose hair was better at his age, yours or his now?
I'll answer that. It's me.
Oh,
it's me.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're going to just take that, huh?
I'm going to take it.
Sadly, he's probably right.
Dad's had some pretty crazy hairstyles.
And they've all been documented. Yeah, that's true. From the other side,
we all make mistakes, okay? We all make mistakes.
Did you feel ever, from your standpoint, pressure to become a singer? Not from your dad necessarily, but like just from the world. Like, my dad is in this epic band. What if I'm not a singer?
No, sir, not really. My dad never forced it on me, like he said. So it's just what I love to do. I love singing. I love making music. I love everything about music. So it's just awesome, and I'm just glad that I get to do it.
And how did y'all pick this one to be the one you guys are going to record?
I love Broken Road, and it means a lot to me. I mean, God can take your wrong mistakes and turn them into something great for you and eventually lead you to where you're supposed to be.
Look at this. That's got to make you proud.
Is that a pro or
that's
what?
That's a pro right there. Holy moly. Well, okay, when Gary started posting videos and co-signing, did that, motivate you recording that song, that stamp?
Yes, sir. People wanted it. People wanted it to be out, but we already started recording it like 3 years ago. So Dad already had the track, and I just had to sing new vocals over it.
Did your voice change in those 3 years?
It definitely did. He sounds very, very young on those early recordings. So the timing was right. And we felt like it was a good catalyst since it had gone viral with Gary's post there, which was so cool of him to do. But it was the perfect opportunity to put a new vocal on it, get it mixed, and put it out there. It's been fun.
Is this going to be a part of a project or a one-off?
We've got some songs in the can that we've been working on, and we're going to start to release some, you know, every couple of months and just kind of get people familiar with Dylan and who he is. And he's got so many musical influences that there'll be a well-rounded mixture of what we release. Right now he's working on learning Man in the Mirror, which is a trip.
Wow. Who are some of your influences?
I love Cody Johnson, Luke Combs, Morgan Wallen, Ty Myers, and I love Bruno Mars. I love Bruno Mars. Awesome. Michael Jackson's great too.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Have you gotten to meet any of them? Of those people?
Well, Michael's dead.
Well, yeah, man. I'm just kidding. No, like, have you ever?
I've met Cody Johnson.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
What about like
Jelly Roll?
Oh yeah, I met Jelly Roll too.
Chubby Roll or Lettuce Wrap?
Yeah. Chubby Roll.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
He is Lettuce Wrap now.
He is now. Yeah.
He looks so much better now.
What now is the album or the tracks that you're going to put out, are they any originals or are they all going to be covers?
We're going to have some originals. He started writing tunes and little pieces of work pieces. So we're going to take those and kind of turn them into tunes. And he's really, I got him last Christmas, he got his own rig and laptop to where he can start doing his own beats and logic and everything and recording his own vocals and ideas. So we're going to take those and kind of make something out of those and just take it a little bit at a time. His priorities right now are basketball and school. So we record as we're able to.
What about when you guys go on tour this year? What if you're sick? Like, can he fill in? Like, where are we?
Well, I'm going to have to teach him how to play bass to fill in. Yeah. You know, I mean, I had to do a charity event a couple of summers ago, and I had a sinus infection really, really badly. I brought him along with me, and he sang all the songs, and I played piano.
How old were you then?
How 11? Old was I? 11? Probably.
11. And how did the crowd respond?
It's online. It was in Chicago for Oktoberfest. It's unbelievable. He sang Yours If You Want It, Broken Road, and I like the sound of that.
What's your least favorite Rascal Flatts song?
I've got several.
I know. I think you've told me once or twice.
Well, I'm not really sure. I think an overrated one is Life is a Highway.
Oh, stop it.
I think it's overrated.
Oh, I'm going to spank you when we get back.
How's it overrated?
I know it's done a lot, but it's a lot of just the same thing. You know, like, yeah. Life is a Highway.
This is hard to listen to. I'm not going to lie.
It's tough. Yeah. But even like the guitars, like the riffs are the same, but they're different guitars. It adds more of a.
No, the guitar is great. Jodan played that awesome.
What about like the vocals? You would rather hear the original?
No, sir.
Okay.
But I think it's overrated. It's not one that I hate, but it's definitely overrated.
This is going to be the headline in the social media clips.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
That, right?
I literally Dylan was just thinks, thinking of yeah. that. Yeah, yeah.
It's a hot take. Yeah, it's a hot take for sure.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so it's going to be hot take quote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect.
Dylan says Life is a Highway, overrated.
Overrated. So it's safe to say you'll never re-record that one, or you will?
And well, you never know. You never know.
Okay. Jay, Red Street Records is country music and Christian, which worlds are coming together more and more.
They are.
Gosh, at the CMAs, the speech that Jelly Roll gave and
the
Amen.
Grammys, yeah.
That's what I meant. The Grammys and the Amen winning a Grammy and everything.
I know.
Do you think this is a good thing that the two genres are mixing?
I think it's a wonderful thing, and I'll tell you why. I've long felt like, before it even started happening, that country music listeners and fans and artists share the same core values as Christian music artists do. And I think it's a perfect marriage. I think that the people that show up at a Rascal Flatts concert, like they will on Thursday night at the Bridgestone.
Let's go.
Here in Nashville, are the same folks that listen to K-Love Radio while they're driving down the highway. Okay. I just think they're too much in common. And I think they're kin to each other.
Can you give me an exclusive on something we can expect at that show Thursday?
You can expect to see Rascal Flatts like you've never seen us before. We have we've been intentional and deliberate about putting together a show that has everybody's favorites in them. There are no frills. We're just, it was important for us coming back just to do all the songs that everybody loves.
So is Gary going to be like hanging from the ceiling or?
Gary juggles in the middle of the show with some,
really?
Yeah, with some chainsaws, no. Which he used last week to clear a bunch of driveways out. I do some fire breathing on
that
top of the piano.
Jodan comes down.
From the top.
Yeah. From the top. Yeah. Flying. He's got a little fairy costume. That's really fun. No, we do have some surprises in store. Don't want to give those away, but it's going to be a fun night. It's like a giant homecoming for us because obviously all of our friends and family are here. So we're really, really happy to be back and happy to be back in Nashville. It has been a fun journey back to playing Rascal Flatts music again.
Record label owner question.
Yes.
When you do shows like Nashville, we see it all the time where my friend came, Lainey Wilson was on. Do they get paid like as a normal to show up or is it like I live in Nashville, I'm going to show up?
I think it's if you have a relationship, they just do it out of the kindness of the Taylor asked us to come out on the Red tour when she was here a few years back, I think 2017. And we just did it because we love her and showed up and did what hurts the most with her and hugged her neck. And, you know, I think when you have a personal relationship, you do favors.
Okay, so there's never any like it's no. Wow, that's cool to know. That's interesting because I wonder in other genres if it's like, hey, if I'm gonna show up, I need you to cover this.
I think so. I've heard some of those stories before, but yeah, there's usually a price tag attached to it in the pop world.
Wow. Hip-hop okay. World. The 2026 Life is a Highway tour. It wraps at the end of this month. Right?
Yes, it's hard to believe. We just got started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's next? Is there ever a full stop retirement for you?
No, I think I would go crazy if I retired. You know, I don't do well with idle time. I love to work. I love to make music. I love doing what I'm doing at Red Street. It gives me an ability to use a different skill set. And it's pretty awesome to be able to pass the torch to the next generation of country and Christian music stars. So I like to think that I've come to this point in my life to be able to have any knowledge or any experience I have to pass it on to hopefully keep folks from going through some of the pitfalls that I did and had to learn some lessons the hard way. So it's very rewarding for me and why I wake up every day and go in the office.
And the next generation is here. What's it like for you? Are you homeschooled or do you go to school?
No, sir. I go to school.
Okay, so what's this like when you all of a sudden go viral on Gary's thing, you put the song out, and like just in general in life, like I could imagine having basketball practice with some of the guys from Rascal Flatts being there. Like, what's that like?
It's pretty fun. It's kind of normal to me. Like,
that's crazy.
I just go to school. It's been kind of the same. Even after it went viral, it's been kind of the same at school. I've just kept doing basketball and my school work, and I'm just staying on top of that for right now and seeing where the future takes
me. It's been really cool for me to watch his friends support him and kind of champion him and play it on their phones. And I mean, they're really proud of him, and he has a great group of buddies. So they're all really supportive of each other.
Who do you hope hears your version of it and is like, wow, I love this? You can't say Cody Johnson.
That's a great question.
I mean, obviously, like a Morgan Wallen or like Luke Combs.
Okay.
I would love for that.
Okay.
Like, if they saw it and they were like, wow, this is awesome, that would make my year, if I'm being honest. That would be awesome.
And who would you rather open up for other than your dad's band?
Morgan Wallen.
Okay.
Morgan, I hope you're listening right now. Kid needs to help me pay some bills. My wife is very expensive.
Well, man, this was so cool. I really appreciate y'all coming through.
Thank you for having us.
We love your version of the song. Good for you for doing that.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, buddy.
Thank you. Of course, man.
All right, let's bring in Billy Dukes to discuss this interview. This was a first for me to have a father and son, both with music released, really, I think, in the same studio.
Was little man nervous?
I think he was. I think he was a little bit nervous. I mean, it's hard to tell. He's 13, but he sounded nervous.
He seemed like pretty composed. He seemed like maybe he had his stories and his lines and like his jokes, and like he was pretty good at those, but I don't know if we would have got him talking too much about like the whole Rascal Flatts career.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. Yeah, I think but I like how he knew, he almost knew like what to say and not to say. Like he didn't name drop Keith Urban as his neighbor, his dad did, you know, and it was just an interesting perspective that it's just not a big deal to him, because if you think about it, that's the only life he knows. But to have Rascal Flatts at your basketball game growing up, like the closest thing I could think of was there was a kid on the opposing team in T-ball whose dad was Beautiful Bobby from the WWE when I was growing up. That's the closest, you know, and that was so cool to me.
I'm trying to think of the most famous person from the small town I grew up in. And there's a couple of like college football connections, but like the one that everybody kind of remembers from pop culture is Bachelor Bob from like season one or season two of The Bachelor.
Okay, that's the big guy from your hometown.
Oh, he was it,
you,
baby.
Of course.
He was it.
I think you're more famous, man. I vote for Billy Dukes over Bachelor Bob.
I might have eclipsed him.
Yeah, I think you did, man.
I should look into that, man. It's about high time I get my name on the Welcome to Riverview, Michigan sign.
Does he have his own sign?
No. There's nobody on the sign. There was actually a pretty famous Michigan, University of Michigan football coach who was either from Riverview or did a lot through there. So
yeah, it's not the guy that just got fired, is it?
No. This is a guy, I think, like back in Michigan, one like was really good in the 90s. He was at the helm then. I don't remember if he was.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I don't remember if he was like part of that championship team in the 90, like 97 or not, but he was around that era.
Okay.
A little bit of a
woods
side
on that,
there,
man. But, jeez, yeah.
I mean, back up to what you said about Keith Urban, like, what is this neighborhood with like Rascal Flatts and Keith Urban? Are like, are they next door neighbors? Like, this is,
dude,
tremendous.
I had so many questions. Like, I wanted to be like, Keith Urban, like, did he keep that house? Is that a Nicole Kidman house now? Does he still live there? Like, what have you seen? But it sounded to me like they were next door.
Yes. Like, oh, what'd you hear? Like, who lives there now? Like, I wanted to, I know you couldn't do it, I don't think, but man, I wanted to squeeze there. He didn't give any sort of hints after the interview, did he?
No, nothing at all. But it definitely sounded like in close proximity to a lot of different country artists. So wherever that neighborhood is, you know, by the school, wherever school he goes to, that's where it's at.
I want to strongly disagree with Dylan DeMarcus on Life is a Highway.
Oh, like, if he wasn't 13, I might have thrown punches. Me too. That's my favorite. Not my favorite, but the way that they, first of all, Tom Cochran's Life is a Highway was an epic song for me growing up. And yes. Yeah, but the way that Rascal Flatts redid it, they like the way the guitars sound better and their voices. That's one of those where I would rather hear Rascal Flatts' version is more alive. And how do you say that as a kid when you watch Cars likely your whole life? The movie's in it, the song's in the movie.
When he was born, Cars was already 6 years old.
Well, whatever.
But still, my kids have all seen it 500 times. I'm sure his have as well.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah.
Yeah. You know who else would probably be upset by that is Joe Don Rooney. Like, Joe Don Rooney has told me Life is a Highway is his favorite song. Like, he may not tour with Rascal Flatts if they don't get to put Life is a Highway on stage every night.
Yeah, that was another cool moment from the interview, was that it was cool to see it from that perspective, because Jay DeMarcus like lit up almost like the same as you and I are. Like, he was like, "What?" And there were a couple moments in the interview that were like that. That it was cool to me. It almost felt like it gave Dylan a way to say these things that. Because it sounded to me like he's never told his own dad that that's his least favorite, most overrated Rascal Flatts song. So that's something they don't talk about over the dinner table.
I'll be honest. I don't love, and this is a little bit, I don't love Bless the Broken Road. And I think that's just because, like, I'm a guy, and I've never, like, felt that kind of, like, I certainly felt like a love song before, but, like, this one just never... I appreciate why it's a great song and why it touches people, but it's just never hit me in the heart the same way it hits other people.
I always thought it was about cheating. I don't think it is, but why are we like celebrating a song about, well, I got strayed off a broke, I strayed from you, but bless me, I'm good now, but... I don't think that's what it's about. But anyway, I mean, that's not one of my least favorite. I don't hate it like you do.
I always liked Me and My Gang, which is a little bit of a corny song, but it's still a jam.
Nah, I'll take Summer Nights over that one.
I like Summer Nights quite a bit, too. That's a great song.
Yeah.
They had some kind of later career songs, too, that were pretty good. Yeah, I don't... So, I have a question for you about this interview. Were they kind of booked to come in and talk about, like, this Rascal Flatts tour, or was it more to kind of put a little focus on Dylan DeMarcus... and like this cover of the song and maybe some potential new music down the road?
Yeah, I think it was just supposedly, you know, Dylan DeMarcus. But I think, you know, Jay knows how to play the game. You know, it's easier when to let his kid in the door if he's here, you know. And and from an interviewer standpoint, like... You can't, I mean, what am I going to do? Not talk to Jay DeMarcus about Rascal Flatts. I mean, you have to. And I think that they know that. And I think that's why he brings them around. I mean, it's not Jay DeMarcus's wife bringing him around. You know, I think there's a reason for that.
He's come through with some other artists on his label before, hasn't he? The Red Street, I forget who they were, but he's had some other younger artists kind of come through that he sort of, he gets in front of to kind of help get him in the door a little bit, which is super smart.
Yeah, he's got a couple of those. I'm not sure if I recall if he came in with them. I'm going to say like the politicians, I cannot recall. But he definitely, we've taken some interviews, you know, from his label that, as with anything, not just his label, but any major record label, if they're pushing somebody, you know, it makes it a lot easier for us to receive it than if it's getting pushed by, a non-major label. So you know, something that's getting pushed by someone that's in Rascal Flatts, you're going to give it an ear first. It just gets bumped up to the front of the line.
Yeah, and I think it helps that Jay, in general, Rascal Flatts overall has been pretty good to media. They always did the rooms and the interviews and stuff. But Jay in particular has been honest and forthright. He hasn't been like a question dodger throughout his career.
Yeah.
So I think that's appreciated. And the reward is that we'll talk to him when he wants to talk about something that maybe is not directly tied to Rascal Flatts.
Yeah, he's the man. I agree. He's good. He's their good like communicator, like Dan is from Dan and Shay. Like he's the communicator. And I've interviewed him countless times, and then the whole group countless times. And when it's like Old Dominion, like if you interview the whole group, you're not going to get you're going to get goofy. We're funny people together, you know, which is great, you know, but. When you get Jay, you get that, but you can also get the stuff that you're not going to get necessarily, not because he's hiding it, but just stuff that you're not going to get when he's in the same room as Joe Don and Gary.
I'm trying to think of some other examples, like Lady A. Do they have like a lead communicator?
The dude.
Probably Charles?
Not Charles.
You think it's Dave?
Dave.
Really?
I think Dave and the lead singer.
Hillary.
Sorry. What's her name?
I did not prepare you to talk about Lady A. Hillary. Hillary, Dave, Hillary. And Charles.
I think Dave and Hillary are the main. Dave says the main stuff. Hillary is a strong backing of it. And Charles is there for the ride.
See, Charles used to be a little bit more forward in that line, but I feel like he's kind of taken a little bit of a step back as he kind of dealt with some personal issues, or at least it's sort of leveled out a little bit. Maybe that's better.
Yeah. I've had sober interviews with, you know, Charles sober and Charles not sober interviews. And it's kind of the same. It's just kind of, I don't know. He kind of just hangs in the back a little bit in the balance or whatever it's called.
To clarify, we've never talked to him when he was physically not sober in the room, just when he was before he got sober, I guess is what you're trying to say, right?
Yes, that is what I'm saying. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. Thank you.
I don't want to start any rumors. Charles Kelly does drunk interviews. No. Those aggregators, man, you got to be worried about them.
I did not say that. Yeah.
All right. So who else? Parmalee. Kind of a lot of equity there. Old Dominion, I think Matt. But you can get good nuggets out of all four of the guys that do interviews.
Trevor talks a lot in Old Dominion. And yep. Matt. Is it Trevor?
Yep. Trevor's the blonde guy. Jeff is the dark-haired guy with the beard. Brad is the guitarist, kind of taller, thinner, and then Matt's the singer.
Brad and Trevor talk, and Matt talk, and then the other guy, I don't know, I'm not prepared for this band talk, but each band has their own guy, usually, that does the talking, and it's not always the lead singer, which is interesting.
No, I don't. It isn't, but I like when... I prefer just talking to one or two in general, but we've talked about that plenty of times before.
Yeah. You know, with all of them, you get the whole shebang, you know, and they're all just goofing around. Yeah.
Yeah. It gets tricky. All right. Well, good interview. I know we got some good stuff, on the way, including, Megan Patrick's coming in here soon. You just talked to her. Did that go well?
It went really well. Yeah, all I'm right, excited for y'all to hear the Megan Patrick interview. If you don't know, she's married to country artist Mitchell Tenpenny. At the end of the interview, we did a Megan or Mitchell, and we asked, who is more likely to do certain things, and it was quite hilarious. And there's a lot of other highlights in there as well. And we have Aaron Tippin is going to be coming by, country icon there. And there's more getting scheduled every day. They just keep rolling in. So keep us on your front page of your podcast, Taste of Country Nights, on demand.